Welcome to Digication Scholars Conversations. I'm your host, Kelly Driscoll. In this episode, you'll hear my conversation with Andres Perez, a student at the University of Luverne. More links and information about today's conversation can be found on Digication's Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Full episodes of Digication Scholars Conversations can be found on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Welcome to Digication Scholars Conversations. I'm your host, Kelly Driscoll, and today I'm very excited to introduce Andres Perez. He is a current student at the University of Luverne, where he is majoring in psychology with a pre-med track. Welcome, Andres.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Andres. It's currently my last year at the University of Luverne. I'll be done with all my classes in the summer. Not too sure when I'm going to be graduating. It's either in the spring or in the fall. I have to clarify with my advisor. What was I going to say? Oh, no. I blanked.
On the spot. It's fine. Thank you so much. It's very exciting that you're getting near to the end of your time there. And as part of your experience there, for our listeners, I was able to learn a little bit about Andres before our conversation today from his wonderful e-portfolio. And for those that have been listening to other conversations, I did have a chance to talk to one of his professors, Benjamin Jenkins, on Digication Scholars as well. And we had such a lovely conversation about how he uses ePortfolios in his courses that I wanted the opportunity to speak to one of his past students as well. So, Andres, I know in the portfolio that you created, it has a title in it that's called the Luverne Experience ePortfolio. Could you tell us a little bit about what that is?
Yeah, so the Luverne Experience, basically it's a requirement from the school in order for us to graduate. It incorporates all the student, the values of the university, so community engagement, diversity, inclusion, lifelong learning, and there's one more, but I forgot what it is. But so we had to incorporate the values into our portfolio and see how the values has affected us over the time we've been at the university. And so I highlighted three key values, the diversity, inclusion, community engagement, and lifelong learning in my e-portfolio. So then I explained in my portfolio each value of what it meant to me and like how it's affected me and what I'm going to take from those values and apply it to my life in the future after I graduate from Luverne.
Nice. So when you started creating this e-portfolio, was there a specific course that you were taking that kind of prompted you to start building it?
It was our Honors Colloquium 2 class that Professor Jenkins taught. It's a part of our Luverne Experience requirement. Not everyone takes Honors Colloquium. It's only for the Honors program. But usually the class, like people outside of the Honors program have to like go out in the community and like either like be a tutor for students at a public school or volunteer at a food shelter. But for our class, Professor Jenkins wanted to focus on giving back to the community and adding to the Luverne history. So at our university, we have the history, and then he wanted us to add to it. So we used our portfolios to add to it.
Are you speaking about the university archive?
Yeah, the archives, yes. Thank you for saving me. Yeah. The archives, you wanted us to add to the archives, and which will add to the community, making us have a history so when future students can look back upon the archives and see it. And then also in the class, you wanted us to use archives to write another paper. We use the archives to look back on our history and then like and apply it to how much it's changed over the time of the course of the university's history to present day.
Yeah. So what was that experience like for you? I know you in some of the reflective writing that you did in the e-portfolio were kind of sharing that when you first embarked on creating the e-portfolio, you were struggling a little bit to think about, you know, your kind of place in the institution's history or how what you were doing really mattered. You know, you were going to classes and then going home? You know, how does this kind of fit into the bigger picture? So what was the experience like for you as you were creating the ePortfolio and starting to make some of those connections?
Well, Professor Jenkins gave us this, the idea of just like, look, you have to make a portfolio, but it's up to you what you put in there. Like he gave us instructions, but it wasn't like a set thing to follow, like a prompt. It was kind of just like, this is your project. You do what you want with it, which was difficult because usually I like instructions and I like knowing what to do. So I was able to be a little bit more creative in this sense. And I was able to like take different things of my life and put it together. But yeah, it was difficult because honestly, I'm not involved in any sports, clubs, anything at the school. I literally just go to class, drive home, and then I do stuff outside of class. And so it was difficult to see how I've been impacted the community in any way. Because like, you know, if you're not really there, then how can you impact a community? So I had to like look at my personal life to see how I impact the community instead of just the school. So I had to expand my horizons and think outside of the box. To answer those questions.
Yeah. So what kind of discoveries did you make in that process?
Well, upon reflecting on my life, basically, I found out that I actually like I'm engaged with the community a lot. At that time, you know, I have a podcast called Getting Football Podcast. It's changed. The name has changed since the portfolio. So it's outdated on the portfolio. But yeah, I realized that we engage a lot with the community. Every video we make, you know, sometimes it doesn't get a lot of views, but you know, so there's always someone to engage with, someone that watches and that engages with our video. And recently we had a video and we were talking about the Jamaican national team, and we had a lot of people from Jamaica commenting on our videos, sharing their thoughts and opinions. And that was just mind blowing to us because we had no idea we could reach another country and have that big of a engagement with another country. So it was really cool to see that engagement with them. And then diversity and inclusion, you know, I play soccer outside of the school. And I was thinking, I was like, there's got to be something because it's the world's biggest sport. You know, it's everybody loves it and there's got to be something. And then I recently joined a semi-professional team at the time of making the ePortfolio. And two of my teammates were Jamaican and I believe Nigerian, and I never really encountered anyone from those countries, like specifically from those countries. So it was really cool to talk with them and spend time with them on the field and outside of the field. And yeah, it was just something I had to think about outside. And then the lifelong learning, that was when I could actually go in the classroom and was like reflect on classes I've had in the past. Because usually for me in college, like once I take a class, I don't really think about it too much unless I have to use it for another class. So it's kind of like one of those things, but like it forced me to go back and think about all these other honors classes I've taken, all these other psych classes I've taken. And then I was able to use that to draw from my ePortfolio. And then I used a couple examples from like papers. And I think I used a presentation I used in one of my favorite classes I've had to incorporate into my ePortfolio.
Yeah. How did you make decisions about what you wanted to include? And it looks like in some of the other Laverne Experience portfolios that I've seen, there's kind of an overlying structure. Did you modify that structure at all? Or did you kind of use what was available within the template, but then filled it in with your specific kinds of projects? And how did you decide what you were going to add to each area?
Yeah. Well, Professor Jenkins gave us a rough idea of how to set it up so it didn't look like a chaotic mess of material just chucked into a portfolio. But I wanted to tell a story with everything I did to an extent. So like for my essays that I had in the section, I forgot what I exactly called that section. I wanted to tell a story of my progression through college so far, like my writing style, my presentation style, because I wasn't a very strong writer. I'm sure my high school teachers could attest to this. In my high school classes, I always got like B pluses on all my essays. I rarely got any A's. And, you know, I wanted to show that I've grown as a writer and show that I've improved in some way. Because I've made sure I incorporated a research paper I wrote, because I never wrote a research paper. And I was proud of what I've written because I spent a lot of time working on it. And I wanted to show that and then show a reflection essay that I had as well in another class that challenged me to think outside the box again from Professor Jensen at the time. He Professor Jensen was a professor at all freshman year, and he had like all of these essays all the time that were like really like made you think outside the box, and they were never straightforward. It was very frustrating, but you had to like really put your mind to it. And so, yeah, so I incorporated one of his essays, and then I just try to tell a story with everything that I did and try and like reflect, put my own spin on it too, because I try to show my personality a little bit through the presentation. Like why the reason why I incorporated a presentation into that section for the document was because it was my favorite class, but also it was my favorite thing I've worked on so far, because in that presentation, it was an interpersonal communications class. And so the class was basically about relationships and how they work. And I thought it was really cool because it was applicable to my life. And you can, what I've learned, I've used in my life, and I can see about it, see what it's about. And I was able, in the presentation, I was able to analyze my favorite movie and the relationship between the two characters. And then so I was really proud of that, so I had to incorporate that. So yeah, a lot of everything that's in there is a story of myself, in a way that I try to make a story in throughout my life in each section. So that was the idea behind it.
Nice. And for you, was this kind of process of personal storytelling or reflecting on your experiences something that you had done before you used the ePortfolio, or was this a new kind of practice or process for you?
It was definitely a new practice, because I didn't really reflect on my life in that way and try and incorporate the values of the university that we had to look at upon. So it made me reflect on my life, because I never really done that before. I've usually just gone with the flow. And I was like, all right, this happens next, and this happens for a reason, and all that. And yeah, and I just had to really reflect, but I enjoyed it because it made me think outside the box, though, especially with we had to do interviews. And I tried to get like a theme going with the interviews, because I just didn't want to interview like random people. So I was like, let's interview someone from the past of the university, and then let's interview someone in the present. So I grabbed one of my friends that I've known literally the first day of college. I met her on the first day. And then I grabbed my mom, who went to the university, thankfully. So thank you, Mom, for going to that university.
Aww,
so
wonderful.
I was able to reflect. I was able to compare and contrast the two. So I was just focused on telling a story in every aspect that I could. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm curious, between their two different perspectives, were there a lot of parallels in their experience going to the same university, even though they were there at different times?
I would say there's some parallels, both very hard-driven women on both sides. But my mom always emphasized that the campus during her time was so much smaller than the campus it is now, because a lot of it was never built when she went there, and then now it's a lot bigger, obviously. But yeah, I mean, it kind of reflected the same way, because you know, my friend, she's still in college, but my mom's gone on to graduate school and got her PhD and stuff, so like she's a lot more developed in the educational side, and my friend's still starting out in that sense. And so it was similar in the sense of what they got from the university so far, but my mom was able to apply more to what she learned from Laverne. It was able to use it outside of Laverne for further education. But my friend is still there, but she thinks that it's going to help her long later down the road.
Nice. And I know in my conversation with your Professor Jenkins, he was speaking a bit about the university archives and how important it is for students to be able to share their stories and experiences in the same way that you're able to refer to the archives and learn about the institution's history and what life was like for students then and what the kind of learning outcomes were at that time to serve you today, that your experiences and stories can have value to future generations. And kind of thinking about the ePortfolio as sort of a time capsule, sort of your legacy that you're leaving behind for other students. And was that something that you kind of had in mind as you were creating these stories, or who are you thinking about as the audience for your ePortfolio?
Well, I know obviously Professor Jenkins was the main audience. Also, you know, I know he works as an archivist at the school. But yeah, I didn't really have like a set audience in mind. I knew that it's possible for future students to see my portfolio, but it's not like a guarantee, right? But I just wanted to, I took the matter serious. I wanted to ensure that I was able to reflect, and my portfolio showed the story of my time at Laverne. And I didn't have like a set audience in mind. I just wanted to be able to show my personality, but also show my time at Laverne, and hopefully people can learn from it, or people can see what it was like back then. And so, yeah, my I didn't have like a set audience in mind.
Yeah. And I was curious too. So you, it sounds like you added materials from a number of different courses that you've taken over your time there. And as you were kind of going through this process of curating and making decisions about what you wanted to include, had you seen any of your own kind of growth or transformations as you had kind of moved through the curriculum there from one course to the next, how your skills may have developed?
I think thinking outside the box is probably the best thing, because, you know, usually in high school, you would be like, here's a prompt, write about it, you know, or you have to write a certain way. Especially in those AP courses, you have to write a certain way in order to get the grade. So you're very limited on what you could do. And when I got to the University of Laverne, it was kind of the writing professor I had freshman year was, I mentioned him before, but it was Professor Jensen. He always like encouraged to think outside the box. And he gave us prompts, but the thing was, is I remember at the time I was always frustrated every time he gave us an essay to write about, was that he never like was super specific on what to write. Like we would have like some like reading we had to do, or like a book we read, and then we had to write about it. But he kind of gave us the leeway to kind of write about what we wanted to write. But yeah, I think my writing style in that sense of thinking outside the box improved, but also through writing so many essays and papers, my overall writing just got better. I stopped speaking like don't slang English, you know. I've narrowed down the typos, and I've started speaking like proper English when writing, instead of just like using like slang that you should never use in a paper. And I would always be a culprit of that. And then I'll be like, wait a minute, I got to go back, cause I can't say that. That's not how you write a paper. But also, I think another thing, that has improved over time was, listening to others as well. Cause usually I was kind of like narrow-minded in that sense, but I think through all the classes I've taken, I've learned that it's important to also like listen to everybody and just hear them out, because I've taken a lot of philosophy classes because of the honors program, and we've learned about so many different cultures I've like never even thought about, but it's always important to incorporate those, but listen to them and see how they can be even incorporated in your life, or how similar they are to certain values that you have in your life, and just be able to compare and contrast. So those are the two things I've learned so far.
Nice. And it's great to hear that it sounds like some of the assignments that you were given that kind of pushed you outside of your comfort zone and may have initially challenged you and made you feel a bit frustrated are some of the things that you're most proud of today, and where you've seen some of your biggest growth happen. So I know many educators are hoping to kind of push their students to the next level. So it sounds like you've had some really good experiences and teachers there at your time at Laverne.
Yeah.
To hear. And I was curious for you, you mentioned that you have a love for soccer, and that it's something that you do outside of your time at the school. It's something that you've included as part of your extracurriculars within your portfolio. When did you make the decision to include that? What kind of led you to want to share that that aspect of yourself?
Well, soccer has been a massive part of my life and has helped me be the person I am today through trials and tribulations. But I started when I was 12. And actually, a couple of days ago, it was my 8th anniversary of playing on the 17th of August. I saw on my, my mom showed me on for Facebook, but what I, it's been 8 years since I started playing, and it's always been a big part of my life for, cause you know, this is personal, but I'll share it. I was diagnosed with a, blood disorder, hemophilia A. So I can't clot. I don't have factor VIII, so I can't clot blood. So I was never cleared to play any sports when I was a kid. I couldn't play football, soccer, tennis, nothing. Thankfully and luckily, I was blessed with a great medical team at Kaiser Permanente. Shout out Kaiser Permanente for in that sense. And I was blessed with a great team who, when I turned 12, actually approved of me playing, but also the medication got a lot better as well. And so I was able to play. And so, yeah, it's always been a big part of my life. Before the age of 12, I always remember watching soccer with my grandpa and my dad. And it was always the Mexican national team. We are big supporters of the Mexican national team because my grandfather, he was from Mexico. And he actually got me into soccer because I remember one time I was like probably like 5. And he was watching his Chivas. He loved Chivas. And I was a kid. I had no idea. I didn't really care too much. And I was like, hey, can we change the channel? I don't want to watch this. And he got mad at me. And he was like, change the channel? What do you mean change the channel? And then he got mad at me, so I had to leave the room. And I was like, why is he so mad at me? I just asked him to change the channel. I didn't get it until recently when I started, like when I was around 12 and really got into soccer, playing soccer, watching soccer, that I understood what it meant to be so passionate about something that you love. And soccer is something that I'm very passionate about and that I love. And so I thank him for that. It was just a big part of my life. I've, you know, had a lot of ups and downs with soccer. Actually, I had a year break after senior year of high school. I got injured with a knee injury, took a year break, and then didn't get back to it until I was making this portfolio. Literally the weekend before I had to turn in my portfolio, I made my semi-professional debut. And that was my first game back in over like a year and a half. So it was just like everything was coming together at the right time as I was making it. But like during that year gap, it never left my passion for soccer. And during that time was when I made the podcast, was filled in that soccer gap that I had. But it was never really felt the same. Like I love making that podcast, but playing is just a different experience for me. It's something that I prefer to do. But so now I'm doing both and I just love what I'm doing at the moment.
That's such an incredible story. And I'm so glad to hear that even though there were so many limitations placed on you as a child, that you've been able to, you know, build this love for the sport and have this wonderful opportunity to play and have come so far. That's really remarkable in just 8 years time, right?
Yeah.
And I love to hear that it's rooted in family and, you know, of course, your grandfather wanted to share his joy and passion for the sport with you. And what a wonderful way to kind of carry on your family's kind of history and joy with the sport also. So you mentioned you started the podcast, if I got this correct, you started that when you needed to take that kind of 1 year break from the sport, correct?
Yeah. So there's going to be a backstory behind this. So actually, okay. the podcast that I have today isn't the original podcast that I had.
Okay.
So my friend Elijah, he is a part of my podcast. I went to high school with him for 4 years. So me and him are still good friends because we still have podcasts together. But senior year of high school, we actually had another podcast called Everything in Between the Sticks. And it was an idea we had just for fun. You know, we only posted on Spotify and it was just kind of like for laughs and giggles. And it didn't do well because, you know, you don't really post on Spotify unless you have like an audience to follow. It's because it's hard to follow people on Spotify that are starting out. YouTube's the best way. And, you know, it didn't go anywhere. We kind of forgot about it. Like we stopped filming. We like just forgot about it. And then he texts me. He was like, hey, it's probably like September of 20, 2022, I think. Yeah. Around like August,
so
September.
Almost a year ago.
Yeah. So yeah. We're actually almost reaching our year anniversary. So it'll be next month. And he was like, hey, we have some people in Sweden who watched our podcast, Everything in Between the Sticks. And I was like, Sweden? And he was like, yeah. He was like, you want to run it back? And I was like, you know what? Sure, why not? Let's run it back. And this time we incorporated one of his friends, who's now one of my friends, Diego. So then it became a trio on the podcast. And then so around September, I'm sure I can probably find the exact day if you just look on the YouTube channel, because you can see when it's posted. I think like September 10th, I think.
Yeah, we can include a link to it in our show notes.
Yeah. Like. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. It's not our greatest video. It's because it's a startup video, and we had no idea what we were doing. And I was just like, we didn't know how to flow, because we were three guys, but we never knew how to properly have a flowing conversation that was engaging. Uh-huh. And so it was kind of like one of us would speak, and then another one would speak, and then we would wait, and it just never was like really flowing. And we're like, oh, who would watch this? And then slowly we picked up over time how to like actually have this huge like dialogue, or like how to talk and like how to flow instead of just one of us talking one at a time. And so yeah, we've picked up a few tricks here and there, and we've grown a little bit since we started a year ago. But yeah, and then we had the World Cup. We grew during the World Cup. And then we actually did really well during the Gold Cup. That's where the Jamaican fans came in, the Jamaica video. That's our best video, actually, with 10K. And then we had a TikTok with my team, West Ham. They were playing in a final. And that went to 18K. That was our best TikTok ever. Nice. And it was just literally a video of me reacting to us scoring the winning goal. And that was it. That was the video. But it was really like a sentimental video to me, because my little brother's in the background of the video. He's celebrating like crazy. He's celebrating more than I am in the video. And that's just because I was in shock of that we actually we won a trophy, and I couldn't believe it. But yeah, it's also that video, the TikTok, was also important to me because it documented history of my team winning. But I care about my team a lot. And it was just like, seeing that moment, I gotta just go on TikTok and relive that moment, watch myself react to the video.
Clearly others have enjoyed in kind of reveling in that joy with you, right?
Yeah. Some people were a bit salty that my team won, but some people were. But overall, it was a good reaction to it. And, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed doing the podcast with those guys. They're a great group of guys. And being able to experience certain things with them, like we went to a football game recently, a Wrexham, I don't know if you know who that is, Wrexham AFC. It's owned by Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney versus Manchester United. And we had to go to San Diego to watch the game, did a video on that. And it was just another fun experience that we were able to do with us three. So yeah, it's a nice little escape too, because like if it's a busy week, then I have like an hour set where I can just talk about something that I love with two guys that are amazing. And yeah, it's just a great time.
Well, and it sounds like you have a lot of respect for the kind of team that you've built for your podcast. And how do you feel like that may connect to your kind of team interactions playing soccer?
Well, you know, it's always been taught to me, it's always treat everyone with respect, obviously, you know, treat others how you want to be treated. But, you know, it also helps that I went to school 4 years with that guy, with Elijah. And then Diego and I just got on really well straight from the start, because he was friends with Elijah. And it sometimes we have our little bickers here and there, but it creates for a fun conversation that adds to the conversation. But it translates well to the field, because I don't think I've only non got along with a few of my teammates, but that's besides the point. But overall, you know, you always got to get behind your teammates, because they're your teammates at the end of the day. It's 11 players on the pitch, and you got to always have each other's backs. So it's kind of easy to incorporate the fact that, like, you have to be nice to each other, but also just, like, have everyone's back, especially people that are important in your life. And so I always just try and have everyone's back with these guys or my teammates on the pitch. Like, I'll always have their backs no matter what, no questions asked.
Nice. So I always love to ask what students' plans are after graduation. Have you thought about that at all? Are you starting to make some connections on that front? What are you thinking?
See, this is where it gets iffy for me.
That's okay.
You know, med school is what I'm aiming for, but I have a secret passion project, which is soccer, professional soccer. It would be the dream, but med school is the realistic dream. So I'm studying for the MCATs right now, so I can take it. But I'll probably, after graduation, probably go to EMT school and be an EMT for a little bit before I go to med school. The goal is, the dream is soccer at the moment. I'm fully focused on it, and I have med school in the rearview mirror, though, just in case soccer falls apart. But my dream is to go professional. If that happens or not, we will see. But I have some things in the works at the moment to try and go pro, so we'll see how that goes. That's the dream after college, but if not, you'll probably see me in some med school place. I don't know, some journal.
Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, and I encourage you to pursue both of those passions as long as they continue to be passions, because you really don't know where life might take you. So follow your heart. Well, I'm so glad we had a chance to connect today and for you to share your story. And before we say our goodbyes, I was wondering for students that may be listening to this, or for those that may be introducing ePortfolios to students for the first time. I know when you came to this, you weren't really sure if it was going to be of value to you, or you know, what stories you might share. What advice might you have for students that are like, what is this all about? How could this benefit me?
Just have fun with it. You know, don't like try and make it something that it's not. Don't try and make it super academic. You know, a portfolio is supposed to be a show yourself, show your personality, be a part of you, be a reflection of you. So just make sure you have your little pizzazz to it. Have fun with it. Because I had fun with it, compiling everything, finding everything, and, you know, talking to my mom, talking to my friend. And yeah, just, and also be happy to share it too. Just be able to share it and just share it with anyone. And yeah, just focus on having fun. That's the most important part. And then also the grade helps too. But just be serious, but also have fun with it. It's that perfect balance you just got to find. But don't try and just make it all academic and try and put your own spin on it, because that's what a portfolio is all about.
Great. Well, thank you so much again. It was wonderful to talk to you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for listening, everyone. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Bye.